The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
From the heart of my apartment in historic downtown Cape Girardeau adjacent, this is another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am going to be your host for the evening. I am, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray, and I'm coming at you solo here tonight, but there's still plenty enough to cover and talk about, so hopefully you'll stick with me here as we go through, including a couple of stories that are breaking as of just within the last couple hours. So I'm going to start with those, and then we'll go through the rest of the news for the week. Of course, we're also going to be talking about Payback was this past weekend. We've got AEW All Out coming up on Saturday as well. Give a little rundown of that one. But to start things off, firstly, it was just announced on his Instagram, not too terribly long ago, like I think within the hour, but The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has announced that not only he, but his entire household, his wife, his daughters, everyone in their home tested positive for COVID-19. He made a video, it's a longer video, kind of detailing everything that happened, what the process was like for them. They are thankfully healthy. They are on the other side of it, as he says. So it's sucks that this happened. But of course, it's a good thing knowing how dangerous it can be that everyone, you know, in their household made it out the other side. It's hopefully it won't have any long-term effects on any of them. You know, especially when you look at someone like The Rock, whose physique and whose athleticism is very, very important to not only who they are, but, you know, what they do. And we know we're learning more that even, you know, without being terribly sick, it can have really bad long-term effects on not just the lungs, but, you know, the heart and other parts of the body as well. So all of our best to The Rock and his family, and thankful that things weren't worse. Other part of the breaking news that came just from within a few, like I said, a few hours ago, as of recording this Wednesday night, is much, much sadder news. Casey Michael, who started and was and owned Squared Circle Sirens, which is a news outlet that really focuses on women's professional wrestling. You've more than likely heard that name because we've cited them on stories before on this show. And it's just, he's been a very, very wonderful champion for women's wrestling and just women being taken more seriously and giving them a platform to, you know, to kind of give them legitimacy in the eyes of a lot of people who may not look at women's wrestling as equal to men's wrestling, which is an absolute shame. But unfortunately, it's been reported by Squared Circle Sirens' own Twitter account that the owner, Casey Michael, has passed away. And he was only 26. There's no real other details, so there's not much else that I can, that I, you know, can talk about here. But other than saying it's absolutely heartbreaking, that is so incredibly young, and thinking of all of the co-workers and friends and family of Casey, who are undoubtedly going to miss him immensely. And also to say thank you for everything that he's done on reporting for women's professional wrestling. And those were the breaking stories. One other unfortunate piece of news that came out is that we know that Bullet Bob Armstrong also passed away. WWE.com has a little write-up. I believe the news was broken by his, I think it was originally posted by his sons on Twitter. I know Brad Armstrong, who is a referee for WWE, or at least was for a time. I'm not sure if he's still there. And then, but is most well known of his sons is, of course, Brian, who is Road Dogg Jesse James. They tweeted about it, but WWE.com did a really, really nice write up for Bullet Bob Armstrong, excuse me, and kind of did a nice, it's not really an obituary, but it's just a nice little read. So you can go to the website. I'm not going to read the whole thing there, but again, everyone at Podzilla and PW express condolences to the entire Armstrong family. And you never want to see, like, these are the stories that are very, very unfun. And I very much miss having, you know, Shannon and Hunter and Dalton and everybody to kind of try to take the sting out of it with a joke or something, but unfortunately not able to do that tonight. He was born in 1939, so, you know, he was 80. I believe that puts him at 81. I don't know math. WWE's website says 80, so, you know, he had a good long life, at least, you know, so there is that, you know, as opposed to, you know, like I just said, Casey was only 26, is just horrible. But again, our condolences go out to the entire Armstrong family, and excuse me, Hall of Famer Bob Armstrong. And because I'm not used to hosting, I need to keep track of what stories I've already talked about. So, okay. And having those two big breaking stories just back to back to back threw me off a little. So here we go. Next up on the list is, you've probably seen it, but Brock Lesnar has officially entered into free agency. His WWE contract has expired. And the reason that this is really kind of come to light is because his page on WWE.com and all of his merch pages have been taken down from the website. And so that led to a lot of people speculating, oh, you know, what's going on with Brock? What's going on with Brock? Well, apparently, this is according to Dave Meltzer from, of course, Wrestling Observer, who is saying that Lesnar's contract actually expired at WrestleMania. When he lost to Drew McIntyre, and which is why we haven't seen him on television since. But this contract that he had allowed for his merchandise and I guess I'm assuming maybe likenesses could continue to be sold, even though he wasn't necessarily under contract for a certain amount of time. Now that that amount of time has passed, his merchandise has been pulled, and Lesnar is now officially fully into his free agency. Meltzer also says that as far as he knows, there haven't been negotiations between he and UFC, which I know typically that's where the real bidding war for Lesnar lies, is between WWE and UFC. But as maybe it's as Lesnar's getting older, he just doesn't want to go back into that specific arena, you know, that WWE contract of limited number of dates, limited numbers having to show up. It would be much nicer where, of course, he has to stay in phenomenal shape and continue to be just the whatever he is. I'm not going to call him a human being because look at him and look at the things he does. Whereas with UFC, you know, to be in fight shape is so, so different. And it's an entirely different process. There's been a lot of speculation online now that this news is broke. Okay, you know, what is next for Lesnar? And the only thing that is 100% certain is what's next for Brock Lesnar is whatever the hell Brock Lesnar wants. That's kind of been his MO for several years now. And I would be utterly shocked if he showed up anywhere other than back in a WWE ring. And it makes sense that WWE really doesn't bring him in for stuff right now. They're not in front of live crowds. You know, these big shows aren't really happening. So it makes sense to save that money, even though they've turned record profits over the course of the last year. That, you know, why pay Lesnar to only do part-time and not get that huge visceral reaction you can feel from a live crowd? Like I said, I don't think he's... I think there is 0% chance that he shows up in AEW, less so in Impact or ROH or anywhere else that, that may be running. New Japan would be cool, but again, I don't see it. I think that we eventually will see Lesnar again, just, and it'll be with WWE, but it won't be until they can actually have a audience, and not even like, I'm not even going to say like live fans, like what AEW is doing now with dailies, where they're, or is, I don't even know if it's still dailies or not. Normally I would defer to someone else and then look that up, but they have the outdoor venue that they're doing the socially distancing with their fans and things like that. I don't even think WWE would bring him back in for shows like that. I think they want as packed a house as they can get for a Lesnar return. I could be wrong. I'm often very wrong. Remember last week when I was talking to Dalton about how I didn't think Breezango would... I really wanted them to win the tag team titles, but I didn't necessarily see it happening, and I definitely didn't think it would happen anytime soon. And then probably before I even finished that sentence, as NXT was airing, they won the tag team titles. So I'm kind of an idiot. Bless y'all for listening to this if you are, because why would you? Big old dummy. But we'll see. It'll be very curious to play out. I would be very curious to see what another company does with Brock Lesnar. Do they keep the same booking that WWE does, make him a part-time attraction, put the championship on him, and just kind of wait? Or do they try to see, get as many, you know, if it's a shorter deal, get as many dates as close together as possible? It's a fascinating process. Let me know what you think they would do, or if you think it's going to happen at all, or you're like, no, you're right. I said, no way it's happening. Next up is we have another departure from someone who is of immeasurable value to WWE, in my opinion. Mauro Ranallo is parting ways with WWE. His Facebook account reads, "Mauro Ranallo and WWE part ways. Ranallo, I appreciate the opportunity I had to realize my childhood dream of working in sports entertainment, and I wish WWE well in the future. Now I want to direct my focus and devote my time to my other projects and to my mental health, charitable activities, and the well-being of my mother and myself." Of course, we've talked about it before. He had the Bipolar Rock and Roller documentary that talks about his struggles with mental health. Mauro Ranallo has been such an advocate, such a champion for mental health awareness that I know I appreciate greatly, and I'm very, very proud of him because it can be, you know, it's very stigmatized. I think as more time goes, we're removing that stigma, and we are, as a society, doing a lot better about communicating and accepting and validating the challenges of dealing with mental health, because we know it's so much more widespread than anyone could have originally thought. And to have someone like Mauro Ranallo constantly be fighting for people is great to see. And from everything that's seen, this is an amicable split. This isn't a situation that was speculated, you know, about his time away because of JBL or Corey Graves. This is just a decision that he wants to take care of himself and his mom and work with these charities and things like that. So all the best tomorrow. I can't wait to see what else he does. Selfishly, of course, I would love to see him come back to NXT because he is my favorite commentator, hands down. I didn't put this on the list, but it's worth noting that Wade Barrett, I keep wondering, it's that thing of they change their names. I get so used to Wade Barrett that it's hard for me to adjust to Stu Bennett, but then I get used to Stu Bennett, and now I have to switch back to Wade Barrett, and I'm bad at it. Wade Barrett is in negotiations with NXT and with WWE to come on as a full-time commentator. He was on this past Tuesday, of course. He is already announced on his Twitter that following the main event of NXT, which I will get to here in a little while, he will be calling the match that was announced for this next week, which is also going to be on a Tuesday. Which, you know what? I'm going to skip down because this was later on the list here. But speaking of Tuesday and NXT Super Tuesdays, Sean Ross Sapp has teased, and it's not really been this isn't breaking news necessarily, but there is a possibility of NXT moving to Tuesday nights full time. Apparently USA has pitched that idea, and WWE has been receptive to it. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. Personally, I don't like the idea of a Wednesday night war. I don't like having to choose, which, granted, I can't because I don't have cable and I don't have a way of watching either show. I have to watch what I can online after the fact. But hopefully it will calm down on just the flame wars of diehard fans who only like one thing, and you can't like AEW and NXT. It has to be one or the other. But it does make a lot of sense. NXT, I want to say like 80% of the time, has lost out on the ratings and or the demos to AEW. So USA may be seeing these numbers as well and thinking, okay, Tuesday night, they did great ratings. Let's see what we can do if it's unopposed. And I don't know those numbers for sure, because if you guys have listened to the show for a while, you know we don't really talk about the ratings because none of us are particularly interested in them. But I don't know when this change would take place, if it's even going to take place. Again, this is all just kind of speculation, and this may be a change that we don't see for a while, or maybe immediate. I don't know how TV deals work. Do you guys know how TV deals work? If you do, let me know. Don't, like, BS it, though, like, oh, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. Oh, that's an old commercial, too. This is why I don't do these shows by myself. This is why I need other people. Because they can rein me in. Let's see, go back. And that threw off my order. I shouldn't have done that. I mean, it tied together, so maybe the flow worked up until this point. Let's see. Rey Mysterio has suffered a torn tricep. This happened in his match at Payback, the tag team match where he and Dominic went up against Seth Rollins and Murphy. There was no real time frame of when he would be expected to return. He was advertised for a match on this past Monday that Dominic ended up replacing him in to compete. And that's where it was announced that he had the injury. By all accounts, this is a legitimate injury. This isn't like a storyline write-off to put more of a spotlight on Dominic. This is legit, so With Dominic having his debut at SummerSlam, a follow-up match at Payback, and now this match on Monday, I'm really curious to see what they do with him now that Mysterio is out of action. I kind of thought it would be cool if they maybe did a tag team for a little bit. Maybe not necessarily going immediately after the belts, but, you know, them working together as a team could be cool to see. And then there's also, I can't remember if we actually talked about it on the show or if it was something we talked about after the fact. So if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. But there was an interview that Rey and Dominic did on ESPN before the SummerSlam match, talking about Dominic already has gear made and a lucha mask where they want him going forward, well, in the future, to wrestle as Prince Mysterio. Rey, of course, is Spanish for king. I think that's a baller name. I think that is badass. Prince Mysterio sounds cool. It sounds a lot cooler than Dominic Mysterio, because Dominic is such like a normal sounding name, whereas Mysterio kind of is more superhero-y, which works for Rey Mysterio. But Dominic it has a weird, to me at least, there's kind of a disconnect there. But I love the name Prince Mysterio. I kind of like the idea of them doing a thing where like Rey gifts Dominic a mask and kind of, okay, now it's on you to continue this line, this heritage of Lucha Libre. So that could have been neat, but maybe they'd have more, they have Dominic do more stuff in ring. Rey kind of takes on the role of a manager. Maybe they take them off TV until they're both healthy, or at least, you know, because then Dominic can do stuff at the Performance Center, maybe even NXT, and then Rey can heal up and then potentially keep them together. Because I feel like no matter what was going to happen, they weren't going to split these two. But again, what do I know? Either way, good luck to Rey. Speedy recovery. Tricep tear is kind of scary. Hopefully he's not out too terribly long. The PWI 500 is out, or it's coming out soon. But it has been revealed that Jon Moxley is the cover wrestler. He is the 2020 PWI number one, and I think that's super cool. I like that idea. I know there have been many debates on this show between cast members about PWI rankings, so I'm not going to get into like the top 10 or the top 100 or anything. I'm sure whatever independent wrestlers you're following are posting their numbers as well. And it's just a cool, to me, it's a cool thing. I look forward to it, and I also kind of dread it, because on the one hand, it seems like Twitter, for at least that first day, is nothing but one of two things. It's either people being like, oh, cool, I made the PWI, this is neat, and kind of celebrating that. And then you have people who are like, PWI doesn't mean anything, these numbers are irrelevant, don't, you know, you're not your number, whether good or bad. You know, if someone thinks someone should be higher, or thinks that they're too high, which is the more toxic side of that. But it's just kind of like, I just wish we could all just, it's a cool thing, let's enjoy it, and just not take it as a gospel. But I like looking through the PWI. There's people on that list that I know that I follow that I've gotten a chance to meet it's really cool to see that hard work pay off. And they do it, and for those of you who don't know, the PWI is, here's the criteria for the rankings, because it's simultaneously kayfabe but not kayfabe. It factors in their win-loss record, technical ability, influence on the sport, success against the highest grade of competition, success against the most diverse competition, and activity. So it takes into account, you know, the quality of opponents, how many times, you know, if someone's undefeated, but they only wrestled twice, then yeah, that's not going to be enough to put on the list. And Moxley, I think, is a solid choice. I don't necessarily have a counter argument to it. I would say maybe Adam Cole, just because of his NXT title reign. But you also have to keep in mind, you know, Moxley was the one to dethrone Jericho to win the AEW title. AEW being a breakout company of, you know, could the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny and Tony Khan, can they successfully run and start a whole new wrestling promotion? And so far, however you feel about the product itself, the ratings apparently are successful, especially even by TNT standards. Everyone's happy with that. They have their own line of action figures that are starting. I'm still waiting on my back order of the first wave, because I'm going to try to collect as many of those as possible, because I have a problem. And there's a lot of good business being done here. And so I think that I don't disagree with Moxley being number one, and Adam Cole, wherever he lands on the list, I know where he lands on the list that sounds about, if Moxley's number one, that's where I'd put Adam Cole as well. But PWI is cool. Check it out. Whenever it goes on sale, pick it up, support the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, so that they can continue to do this. Also, one thing I wanted to mention is that this is the first year that that women and non-binary wrestlers have been incorporated into the top 500. Typically, there is a separate list of women's wrestlers that comes out as kind of a companion piece. But this year, it's all just one list, gender neutral, of the top 500 wrestlers. And I think that is super cool, and I would like that to be the format going forward. See, Colt Cabana has announced that there is a new season of Art of Wrestling coming. It starts here in just under 2 weeks, on September 15th. There will be 6 episodes, a new episode dropping every other week until November, and he's announced that it's going to be all AEW wrestlers, which makes sense because that's who he has access to. These are all they're all interviews done in person as well, which is also kind of cool, because as much as I'm sure we are not the only podcast that you've listened to that has had to switch to doing things remotely, there is some, even with the technology, like having our nice microphones and being able to do Discord calls and still record individually, there are some hiccups. I love you all. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you say that you've noticed that the shows have kind of maybe dipped. At least PWU. I can't speak to the other shows that I'm not on, but like Nerd Up and PWU, the ones that I do, I know that there is a difference because we don't do video calls, and maybe that would help, but I doubt it. But being in a room with someone and being to talk to them and seeing, like, when they're someone's gearing up to say something, you know, you can pick up on those cues and play off of that. I know this show especially, we kind of alternate between speaking over each other because, we have a point to bring up. Or someone will say something as kind of a lead-in, and it's met with just a couple seconds of awkward silence because no one wants to, like, speak over someone because we just got done speaking over someone. So we're gonna just, you know, wait our turn, and then no one talks for a second. So it'll be cool that he's doing these in person. And, you know, typically I would kind of not be a fan of doing in-person stuff with COVID right now, but at the same time, like, he mentioned in the video on his Twitter that, like, they're wiping down microphones, they're being tested, it's the AEW crew, so there's already been at least one test there, so they're being careful. It's not ideal, but selfishly I am happy that we're getting more Art of Wrestling, which, also worth mentioning, all of the episodes you can listen to right now if you go to the Patreon. And I don't know what the tier level is. I haven't looked into that. I'm fine with waiting until they actually drop. But still, it's cool that it's coming back. And Colt is a really, really good interviewer. And I can guarantee you that if it was not for him, this show would not exist. Neither would 99% of your favorite wrestling podcasts. Ring of Honor has announced the new streaming network called ROH Best on the Planet. Let's see. Baltimore, Maryland, Ring of Honor Wrestling is proud to announce the creation of ROH Best on the Planet, a new digital-first 24/7 linear network that will offer Ring of Honor Wrestling content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it's kind of like... This sounds like what it's less the WWE Network, and it's more Impact on Twitch, because it's not a VOD. You're not getting to pick what exactly you're watching. What it is they will just be a consistent feed of various shows. It's already debuted on Stir, which is an ad-supported live streaming service created by ROH's parent company, Sinclair Broadcast Group, with additional distribution partners to be announced. I don't know much about this. I don't fully understand, like, where you will go to see it, other than the Stir. Like, is it going to get its own app? Is it going to be a, you know, what this is truly going to be? But it is kind of a cool thing. And, you know, being able to watch wrestling whenever is neat. And there's some great, ROH in the past has put out some really, really great stuff. And it'll be curious to see, you know, what all kind of, like, is it going to be a scheduled? So, like, okay, we're going to be doing a block of, is it just going to be full pay-per-views? Is it going to be wrestler highlights? Is it, you know, I'm curious to see what they do with it. So, but yeah, Ring of Honor, I will say, though, in the interest of not just being overly positive, which is something I've probably never been accused of, ROH Best on the Planet is a dumb name. I hate that. It's clearly just trying to do best in the world, but they can't. So they went with the Great Value version of that name. I think that's silly. You know, any other name. Come on, y'all. Other than that, like, could be cool. Just wish they had a different name. And then I've kind of saved the last two stories for last specifically because, and this is especially a time that I really wish Shannon and Dalton and Hunter were with me, because very, very rarely do we get to talk about good news. You know, we opened up the show with The Rock, with a couple of unfortunate deaths, and then The Rock's family having coronavirus. And very rarely does wrestling provide us with an opportunity to say good things. But now I've got two back-to-back stories of really, really fantastic things. The first one being Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. On his Twitter, he announced that WWE and Dick Vitale have each donated $900,000 towards 3 transitional grants to help with pediatric cancer research. It's well documented WWE's relationship with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they're constantly doing things for organizations of that ilk. But to see them kind of put this towards this kind of research is really, really great, especially to not get cynical, but, you know, their work with Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is awareness, not research, really, that this is really, really good to see, and that I'm happy to see them do that. And then the second story comes from John Alba, and he did a little story on there's a group of super fans from NXT, and they call themselves NXT United. And after it looks like a tornado caused a bunch of damage to one of the people in this group's property and home, these people come from all over the state. They come as a group to go and watch. They go to the NXT shows at Full Sail. They usually go and, you know, hang out after the shows. It's a solid sized group of people. Some of the pictures that they've posted, there's a lot of them. And I just think it's a really cool thing that they do. But after one of the members' home was kind of wrecked through a storm and a tornado, they all kind of got together and went and helped with the cleanup process. John Alba then follows up on that story, because he did kind of a video story about them going and kind of who they are. And it's a cool thing. You can find that on his Twitter at John Alba, JONALBA. But he followed up on that initial video where he points out that WWE actually provided food, water, gloves, and other resources to help with that cleanup effort, which is cool to see. You know, as much as we do call WWE on some of their very, very shady practices, one of which I'm going to get to when we talk about Payback, I do think it's important that we do give them credit where credit is due. Does it necessarily absolve them of completely? Of course not. But in the interest of fairness, you know, we'll call it what it is. So good on WWE for, one, the donation, and then, two, the donations to this as well. The second part to that is apparently executives at AEW saw the piece and actually invited all of this group to attend Dynamite, so that, because NXT isn't allowing fans in at the time, AEW is allowing limited number of fans with the social distancing seating and things like that, invited them to be able to come to watch wrestling together, live wrestling together. And I think that's a nice move. So credit to AEW for doing that as well, especially, you know, because it is kind of the, you know, these are NXT super fans, to extend that olive branch is nice. So that's actually going to do it for the news. That's all that I had anyway. I'm sure there's stuff, excuse me, there is stuff that I missed, but we still got a couple things to talk about. First off being WWE Payback was this past Sunday, and overall I thought it was a pretty solid show. Similar to SummerSlam, like, there wasn't anything that really, really super stood out to me as being fantastic, but there also wasn't anything that I didn't like. There wasn't anything that I hated. Going through that card real quick, the Riot Squad defeated the Iconics in a tag team match, and then the next night on Monday, they had a follow-up match to determine the winner gets a women's tag team championship match. The loser has to disband. And the Iconics lost. They are disbanding. I can't put into words how much I hate that. I love them as a team. The rumor is that this isn't a punishment to them, but they want to push Peyton Royce as a single star, and for whatever reason, they didn't want Billy Kay to be associated with the act. Not a punishment to Billy Kay, just this is the direction that they want to take with Peyton. So, I mean, on the one hand, like, yes, I'm very happy to see that. I think Peyton Royce is very, very talented, and I'm excited to kind of see what they do with her. But that said, the Iconics were, to me, whenever, like, NXT version was best, but them on social media is fantastic. They are hilarious. I love them together. I like that they work together as a team. And I don't think that it's necessary. You know, Kofi didn't break away from the New Day when he got his singles push. Big E, even though Kofi and Xavier are off TV, is embracing his role as a member of the New Day rather than distancing himself. So I don't know why they have to, they feel the need to do this split. So, but again, I don't, you know, we always say it, we'll see where this goes. We'll see what happens. The United States Championship, Bobby Lashley defeated Apollo Crews to become the new United States Champion. Apollo attacked Lashley after the match, which I liked a lot. I like that it's, there's kind of an edge to Apollo's character. I like that he didn't just take the loss lying down. He showed some fire. And that's what I want to see, because for the longest time, Apollo Crews has just been smiling, happy guy. And to see him show more character is great. Big E defeated Sheamus. Speaking of that Big E singles push, big fan of Big E. I'm very, very curious to see what they do. I know what I want them to do. Will I get that? Probably not, but we'll see. But he continues to pick up big wins. Sheamus, former world champion. If you haven't seen it, check out his appearances on Talking Smack, where he and The Miz get into it 2 weeks in a row. Very, very entertaining. Oh, which, speaking of, we talked about it last week that The Miz co-hosted Talking Smack because they didn't tell Xavier Woods that he was the host. But they did announce on this past week's Talking Smack on Fridays that this coming Friday here in a couple days will be Xavier's first episode. So he will be there in his role as co-host. Matt Riddle defeated King Corbin, and this is, so before the match, well, even before, off the show, King Corbin tweeted out a tweet about Matt Riddle, and I didn't look it up, I don't really care to, but it was something along the lines of, I'm gonna beat Matt Riddle to prove that he's a failure in the ring, in the WWE, because we already know he's a failure at marriage. And I was like, I saw that tweet and I was just like, not a fan of that, but you know, it, whatever, it's personal Twitter. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it, even though I think it's a tasteless thing to say. But then they do an interview with Matt Riddle and the interviewer asks him, well, earlier today, King Corbin tweeted this. And for those of you who don't know, Matt Riddle is currently not being investigated, but like, as part of the speaking out movement, it was revealed that Matt Riddle was alleged to have been with a woman and not in a fully, I don't know how, really how to say it, but it wasn't a great relationship that he had had with this woman. And then there's a lot of back and forth with Riddle saying, and his wife saying that he was unfaithful, but this woman was crazy and they had a restraining order on her and she'd been harassing them, blah, blah, blah. Well, then it turns out that no, she actually had a relationship with Riddle. It wasn't, you know, and then Riddle kind of had to walk back some of the stuff that he said. And it's just it's not really a good look that when the accuser's story stays the same, but the accused person's story has to change and adapt. So it's just a shitty thing. And for them to bring this in as part of a storyline is disgusting. And there's no reason for it. It doesn't add anything. Riddle made a sour face whenever she asked him the question. And then he stormed off to the ring. And unfortunately, this not only did... So Riddle got the win, but the story's not over, because after the match, interviewer was asking Riddle questions and Corbin attacked him from behind. This is just such a bad look, especially with all of the controversy surrounding Velveteen Dream on NXT now. To bring this, not only to keep Riddle on television as, you know, this is going on, but to fully make a reference to it as part of a story, man, that sucks. I hate that. I think that's such poor taste. And hopefully it's dropped immediately going forward. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championships were defended, Bayley and Sasha Banks losing the titles to Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Not a huge fan of the odd couple pairing of Baszler and Jax. This really just feels like The Bar, except without them having that series of matches leading into it. But I will say, this is my favorite finish of not just the night, but of a really long time, because Baszler had Sasha and Bayley in a submission simultaneously. Sasha trying to prevent Bayley from tapping to the Karafuji clutch, but Bayley taps. She is still the SmackDown Women's Champion. Now, Sasha Banks no longer holds any championship gold, and gotta think that this is what's leading to, maybe we'll see it on Friday, the fallout of that, because as of this recording, Friday hasn't happened yet. But it'll be interesting to see where they go, and to me personally, I'm okay with all of the championships no longer being wrapped around, you know, wrapped up with the same two people, because that just leaves less time to, you know, there's less opportunities for other women. Like, immediately, we've already seen, you know, Baszler and Nia getting the tag belts, so, and we know that the Riot Squad is going to be challenging for those at some point. We have Asuka and the Raw Women's Championship seemingly could be in a match with Mickie James coming up, but Mickie is currently also feuding with Lana and Natalya, so we're seeing more of a spotlight on other women, other female acts, than just, you know, the Bayley and Sasha show, as entertaining as it has been, because I've enjoyed it. It's just like, now they don't have really an excuse to be like, oh, well, I mean, we already had our women's segment. You know, we had Bayley and Sasha do their thing, so nothing else we can do. Now they kind of, now things are more spread out that they can give time to other things. Keith Lee defeated Randy Orton. One, clean as a whistle. Two, in like 6 minutes. Wikipedia says 6 minutes, 40 seconds. What a show. Holy crap. Clearly, they have big plans for Lee. Then, the following night on Raw, he dominates Ziggler, and then in the triple threat to name the new WWE number one contender, it's Orton versus Rollins versus Lee, two multi-time world champions, you know, faces of the company, and Keith Lee gets a great showing. Lee hits his spirit bomb on Rollins, Orton drops Lee with an RKO, then pins Rollins instead of going after the pin on Lee. That makes Lee look so incredibly strong. I am fascinated to see where this goes. You know, does he immediately get interjected into the world title picture? Are we going to see an inevitable triple threat between Orton, Lee, and then McIntyre defending against both? I'm curious where this goes, because it really felt like a lock that Orton was going to win the title. But then he lost it. But then he lost that match at SummerSlam. It's like, okay, they're building towards it. That's Drew got a really solid win. And Orton, who is doing the work of his career, has been treated as, you know, untouchable, to give up a less than 10-minute loss, again, clean, to Keith Lee. Like, that says amazing things for what they're going to have planned for Lee. Just, I don't want to be the nitpicky, you know, D-bag, but, like, let's get that music finished up and see what was, get something that's worthy, that we can bask in its glory. Yeah, I did it. And I feel zero shame at all. Also, just a sidebar that no one else cares about but me, it looks like on the main roster, his finisher is going to be the Spirit Bomb instead of the Big Bang Catastrophe, and I am 100% on board with that. I think the Spirit Bomb is a cooler looking move and has a cooler name, so I'm all on board for that. Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio defeated Seth Rollins and Murphy in a tag team match. Solid match. Again, Dominic got a really nice showing. It's still kind of that thing where I'm kind of lukewarm on him, but as a character, I think there's a lot of really, really cool things that they could do here. So, but to me, the biggest takeaway, other than, of course, Rey Mysterio being injured in this match, was the Rollins and Murphy kind of, there's some tension there, Rollins kind of snapping on Murphy, and then that carrying over into the next night on Raw as well. And then the main event, which was the match that I was honestly looking forward to the most, sees The Fiend Bray Wyatt defend his Universal Championship against Braun Strowman and the newly returned Roman Reigns on Friday. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because it hadn't aired yet, but on Friday, Vince McMahon tasked Adam Pearce with getting signatures from all three competitors to make the match official. He gets the signature from Bray, he gets the signature from Braun, but he can't get a hold of Roman. He finally gets into Roman's locker room. Roman looks over the contract and says that there need to be some changes made, and they'll take care of that. He then drops the, and then I'll win the Universal Championship. That's not a guarantee. It's a spoiler. Camera pans over to Paul Heyman sitting on the couch with Roman, who drops Roman's Believe That line. This is the most interested I've been in Roman Reigns in years. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that all of us here are fans of Roman. We think he's gotten a raw deal with the way, no pun intended, with the way he's been presented, and that he gets a lot of undeserved hate. I was excited to see him back when he came back at SummerSlam looking yoked. Just holy crap, if they ever put that man back in that chest protector when he looks like that underneath, no, did not gonna happen. But that was super cool. He dropped some great lines against both Braun and Wyatt, talking, you know, this is mine, you're just a freak in a mask, you're not a monster when I'm around. Great stuff. And to see him get more of an edge instead of the goofy suffering succotash BS that he's had to deal with so far, like, this could be some great stuff coming out with Roman Reigns. The only complaint that I have, and it's not really a complaint, it's more of a question, and this is a genuine plea, because this is very likely just something that I missed. So please let me know if it is. So on Friday, they mention we have to get changes made to the contract. Once those changes are met, I will sign the contract. Fast forward to the main event of Payback. The Fiend makes his entrance. Braun blindsides the Fiend during his entrance. As his entrance is finishing, those two start fighting immediately. The match begins. Roman is nowhere. He's not out there. This is a triple threat match. No holds barred. No disqualification. But only two of the competitors are out there. Okay, they have a heated history. They're in the middle of a heated rivalry. It would make sense for them to not wait until, you know, the match officially starts. But then they officially start the match. But still no Roman. Match progresses. It's hard-hitting. It's kind of, you know, similar to what some of their other encounters have been. Then they do the superplex spot, and the ring explodes, which credit to the dude from Reddit who put on Reddit, like, hey, so something's going to happen to the ring, right? There's no LED. And that's usually when they do that. So he called it. They called it. So the ring is down, the ring is broken, then Roman comes out with Paul Heyman. He signs the contract there and then enters the match, ultimately winning the match and winning the Universal Championship. It was cool. I like how they're kind of, this is presented as an opportunist style. You know, he did not win by honorable means. He waited until both of these men beat the absolute crap out of each other, you know, destroyed the ring, and then he comes out with a chair, which he ends up using to, you know, oh, also this match has confirmed, as someone else on Reddit pointed out, the Fiend is anatomically correct, because to get out of the mandible claw, Roman just straight up took him to Dick Kick City. You're welcome, Dalton. And so, you know, this is very clearly a Roman with an edge. This isn't back to basics Roman Reigns. But what were the changes that had to be made on the contract? Granted, it's possible we won't find that out until Friday. It's also possible we'll never find out. And that was just a line that they gave to kind of give him a reason to not sign the contract until he walked out to the ring. I hope we find out and that it was something. And I really hope that it's not just a throwaway line that they dropped. But again, it's possible that I missed something. So if you're, don't scream at your phone that I'm wrong. Instead, shoot me a message. Tell us on Twitter. Podzilla 1985, I'm at the Five Star Man, you know, whatever. You can let me know. You can, don't scream into the void, scream at me. There are all possibilities. But the thing that I was talking about earlier that I kind of hope that they do is if Roman holds this, Big E gets a Rumble win, and then ultimately Roman drops the belt to Big E at WrestleMania. Give me that. All day. But that was Payback. Again, it was a solid show. There wasn't anything that I thought was outright bad, aside from the storyline stuff with Corbin and Riddle. But and go out of your way, I will say, to watch the finish of the women's tag title match, because that made Baszler look badass, which finally on the main roster. And it didn't require vampire teeth. And before I get out of here, I want to do a quick rundown of AEW All Out. That is, of course, this Saturday, the 5th. And it looks like it's going to be a really, really solid show. I'm excited for it. AEW, of course, has been doing, you know, ultimately, I've been very happy with what it is. I have complaints, of course, as does everyone, but not worth bringing up here necessarily. Also, I'm going to keep this under an hour. Oh, excuse me, unless I die first. We have Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in a broken rules match. Probably, I'm assuming it's like a no disqualification deathmatch style, but with the stipulation that if Matt Hardy loses, he must leave AEW. Don't necessarily seeing that happen, but you never know. We'll see. That could be cool. Either way, I think it'll be a fun match. Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. There is the Dark Order versus, it's an 8-man tag match, so it's the Dark Order, which is going to consist of TNT Champion Mr. Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson versus Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall, who are the Natural Nightmares. Darby Allin versus Lance Archer versus Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks versus Pentagon Jr. versus Rey Fénix versus The Butcher, The Blade, Eddie Kingston, Sean Spears, Billy Gunn, Austin Gunn, Jake Hager, Santana Ortiz, Chuck Taylor, Trent, and to be determined in a 21-man casino battle royale. The winner will receive a future AEW World Championship match. Huh, that's a lot of names. I was actually wondering about this when we talked about it last week. Match for the AEW Women's World Championship sees Hikaru Shida defend against the NWA Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa, who is, one, a great wrestler, and two, a super awesome person. Not trying to do like a name-droppy thing, but when she came to CCW, I picked her up from the airport, and we went to the Arch because she'd never seen the Arch. So I was like, yeah, we'll go. We got some time to kill. But she was super nice, super, super kind. Talked to me after the show as well, like remembered who I was, which when you're a crazy person like I am, you assume that no one does that. And that once we're done interacting, just poof, out of your brain forever. So that meant a lot to me. But that's going to be a really, really good match. I'm very excited to see that. I think I saw an advertisement that Dynamite is currently airing as I'm doing this show. But I think I saw that it was going to be Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb in a match on Dynamite. And yes, please. That could be awesome. Should be awesome. Would be awesome. But I'm very, very excited for this match. Kenny Omega and Adam Page will be defending the AEW World Tag Team Championships against FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood, who will be joined to the ring by Tully Blanchard, it looks like. And this is some of the cooler stuff. Like, this is probably one... If the women's title match is the match I'm most looking forward to, this is the story that I'm most looking forward to, because Page kept the Young Bucks from winning the gauntlet match last week, which led to them kicking him out of the Elite. Omega has been leaning heel for a while now, so it's interesting to see where these things would go. You know, where does their relationship stand? Clearly they're, you know, kind of on the rocks with the Bucks, so I do think this is where they finally drop the titles. We'll see FTR get that win, and then which will lead to the ultimate Young Bucks versus FTR match. Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy. This is the rubber match between the two. They each have a win over each other, and this will be a Mimosa Mayhem match. The match can be won by pinfall, submission, or by throwing the opponent into a giant tank of mimosas. Mimosas. Because it's orange juice and a little bit of the bubbly. We get it. Cool. Could be fun. I don't know. We'll see. I'm being cynical about it now, but it's Jericho and Orange Cassidy, and I like both of them very, very much, so it could be interesting to see. And then the main event is for the AEW World Championship as Jon Moxley defends against MJF, and Moxley is banned from using the Paradigm Shift finishing move. MJF, there's no doubt in my mind, will be a world champion in AEW. I don't think it's Saturday. I think that with the paradigm shift being banned, this is going to lead to Moxley like debuting either an alternate finisher or, more likely, at least to me, a submission move that he's going to get MJF to tap with. Either way, I think it's going to be a fun match. I like MJF. I'm a big fan of Jon Moxley. So, ultimately, like, this is a really cool show. This is a good lineup for a card, and I'm excited to see it. So, yeah, let me know what you think. Do you think MJF takes the championship off of the now longest reigning AEW champion? So bumping Jericho down to second place. Do you think that maybe FTR don't win the tag titles? Who do you think is going to be the mystery entry into the Casino Battle Royale? All of that and more. Let me know. I want to know. I like talking about wrestling. So much so that I'll do it by myself for almost an hour. But in my goal to keep this under an hour, I will wrap things up there. Thank you, everyone, to listen to this. I don't know why you would, but I appreciate the hell out of you for doing it. Of course, Twitter and Facebook and social medias and Reddit now. Podzilla1985. Go to the website.com/Podzilla1985. Of course, don't forget you can get your official Dalton Anthony merch at prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. You can get those shirts there. And then, of course, I'm doing more with my Twitch streams again. I took a little bit of time off, but I am back at it. And, of course, you can catch me at twitch.tv/the5starman, and that is with the number 5. So, I've been doing some Fortnite because that's the person that I am now. I am a pro gamer, but I did just hit one of the Scarecrow sections in Batman Arkham Asylum, and I'm definitely going to be doing that probably Friday night. So, come hang out. And yeah, that's going to do it. I'm going to end it there. I'm going to stop rambling. Again, I cannot say enough how much I appreciate each and every one of you who has been sticking, one, just with Podzilla in general as we are doing different shows and trying different things and doing different things, but also doing these solo shows. Very, very self-conscious about them. So if you've been listening, I appreciate it very, very much. We will see you next week, but of course, tune in for the rest of the week for PZ85 After Dark and the group chat for happiness and everything else. We'll be back with Nerd Up on Monday, I believe. So again, more stuff coming at you, and I appreciate you so, so much. Everyone have a wonderful night, evening, day, morning, whenever you're listening to this, and I will talk to you too very, very soon.